Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, can listening to shows like this one actually open you up to the paranormal?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, if you have a real ghost story, why not share it with us? Because we would like to hear it. Call in anytime, 855-853-4802. You can also write in realghoststoriesonline.com. If you prefer an ad-free version of the show, you also get advanced episodes and access to the archive. Become a premium subscriber. You can do that through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. See if you like it. Or sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. Kathy, this is a good question to pose to you before we start the story.
I think that's so good. Like I heard you say that and then I'm like, I don't believe I've ever thought whether listening to podcasts, reading books, watching TV, you know, the whole bit would open you up to that. Or I guess I'd always just kind of thought about you're somebody who's open to it. So then that makes you more interested in it. But could it be the other way around?
One night I was doing an interview for our other show, The Grave Talks, but it was a late recording. She was on the West Coast. And so we didn't even start till like 9 o'clock at night. By the time we really get rolling, it's like 9:15, 9:30. So it's not super late, but I don't normally sit around and talk paranormal stuff at that time, or just start a conversation, I should say, at that time. And so she starts saying to me, and she is a sensitive, she does investigations, but she definitely has a lot of abilities. And she says, do you ever find, in the way, it was the way that she said it, she goes, do you ever find that talking about the paranormal is opening up more doors and they're coming through to you? And I'm like, I don't want to have that conversation right now. She keeps asking me. And she's like, no, really, do you feel like paranormal things are starting to happen to you more because you're talking about the paranormal more? Because now I'm working full time with Tony. And so I talk about paranormal stuff all day, every day. And I was like, no. And it was just the weirdest feeling because I didn't really want to have that conversation because I was like, what if she's right? What if I go to bed tonight and all these weird things happen? So I don't know. Oh. So we just had a conversation about that. And she did say that a lot of times, the more you discuss it, the more you think about it, the more you read books on it, the more you listen to podcasts like this, that it does open you up to it. And things are able to come through to you.
Interesting, because it's not just that you're open, like you listen to it and you go, huh, something similar happened to me one time or something. And then you begin to think, maybe I have had more experiences. This is like saying, this isn't like that. This is like saying you're actually opening yourself up to these things happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that
You ought to be the most haunted person that is alive today.
Don't say that. God, that's the creepiest thing you've ever said to me.
Well, I'm just thinking about it. Like, you talk about it all the time.
I know. But then, you know, like I have said out loud to my cats, because they're the only ones here. And I'm like, you know, I don't want anything to come in, especially since that woman put the thought in my head. But I'm like, you know, I get to stay home. I get, like, I work from home now. Like, there's so many benefits to sitting in, around and talking about the paranormal all day.
And there's always HGTV.
Because you and I do this into the evening. Sometimes we get done like 9:30 or 10. And I always get done and I watch HGTV. I might watch this show on Netflix tonight called The Diplomat. It's good. And I like it. And
good hint. Okay.
So I might watch that. But I try to watch anything else that puts me in a different headspace before I go to bed.
I get it. I get it. Yeah.
And then I read a little bit.
Need a little distance. I will go read about some artist. Like, I'm reading a book about Rembrandt right now. So that's what I will do.
And clean your brain with it.
Yeah.
Let Rembrandt in and push out all the paranormal stuff because the girl needs a good night's sleep.
That's right.
Okay, let's hear this story.
Okay, I'm interested. Let's go.
It's Mandy from Denver, Colorado. I've been listening to Real Ghost Stories Online for almost a year now. I think listening to your show and a few other Real Ghost Story podcasts, as well as watching a crap ton of ghost hunting shows on TV has opened me up to some unusual experiences. I've always wanted to have a paranormal experience, especially to see Bigfoot. I don't know that Bigfoot would be paranormal. Bigfoot's a cryptid. And so he might actually exist. I don't know. We did a show on that on the Grave Talks about various kind of Bigfoots around the country. So maybe you will see a Bigfoot.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's not so much of a spirit or a ghost. It's something that's real, right?
I mean,
if it really is. You're right. I mean, if it's really out there.
Because
it would be a real
entity. You know, Bigfoot has been around forever. So, you know, there has to be more than one Bigfoot. And is Bigfoot,
which would be big feet,
really big foot,
yeah,
little big foot,
plural. I like the plural, big feet. Okay, but
that's a whole nother conversation.
Okay, I am like the queen of really bad puns.
Okay, here we go.
Okay,
but she says she has remained a cynical believer. Lately, however, some weird things have been happening. My niece, who is 16 and has always seen ghosts and had strange things happen to her, was staying with me for a few days. I took her on a ghost tour of some famously haunted Denver mansions on Capitol Hill, which are some big mansions around there.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
We began at the historic Molly Brown House. Mm-hmm. I have been there. It was awesome. I loved the tour. I didn't pick up on anything really paranormal because it was like late in the morning, lots of people there, but it was a great tour. We were all taking pictures, and I caught a strange white wisp. I'm not entirely convinced it wasn't a bug, which was a fun way to start the night. We ended our tour at the most haunted location, the Peabody Mansion. Look that one up if you don't know about it. It's a doozy. I'm going to do that, the Peabody Mansion.
Yeah.
I felt my arm burning as we were standing on the front porch of this mansion, so I looked down and saw scratch marks appearing. A couple of the other guests on our tour started freaking out as we were leaving, crying and saying they felt dizzy and sick, which apparently is pretty common there. But by the time we got home, the scratches on my arms were gone. The next day, my niece and I were playing Uno at the kitchen table. We live in a super small apartment, thanks to the ridiculous cost of living in Denver. So if you're sitting at the small cafe table we eat at, you literally have to scoot your chair in to open the front door because the door swings in. You also have to come down some uncarpeted stairs to get to our entrance, and you can hear when someone is walking down the stairs if you're at the table. Anyway, we heard some very distinct knocks on the front door, which was right next to where my niece was sitting. She asked me if my husband Chris was home, even though we didn't hear anyone come down the stairs and knocking on the door so he wouldn't run into her when it opened. I said, I don't know, open the door and check. So she moved the chair, opened the door, and no one was there. Bum, bum, bum.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after that, I was on a cleaning spree and decided to clean the window well. We live in a basement apartment, so this window is the largest one and is in the same room as our bedroom. I scooped up all of the dead leaves, cleared away the spider webs. That is spooky enough right there.
Oh, gosh,
clearing away spider webs.
Whoa.
And cleaned the glass. I left the window open that night and woke up to some crazy noises coming from the window well. It almost sounded like something was in there eating something else. Loud crunching noises, very unsettling. Especially since I knew it wasn't an animal that had fallen in and was shuffling around since I had just cleared away all of the dead leaves. I was terrified, and it took me a while to get up and shut the window. I get that. It would take me a while, too.
Yeah, it takes a little bit.
You'd have to be really brave. I didn't even want to look out because I was afraid of what I was going to see. I glanced up through the partially open blinds and saw a black shadow towards the top corner of the window quickly move as I approached, but the noises continued. When I looked into the window well, nothing was there. I closed the window and the blinds, ran back to bed. Of course, my husband slept through the whole thing. I went out of town shortly afterwards on that trip that I will soon be describing and asked my husband to make sure he kept the window closed unless he wanted some creepy, weird thing to come in and get him. All of this culminated during a weekend trip to my dad's cabin with some of my girlfriends. His cabin is very far out there and is in bear, badger, and mountain lion territory. So I'm always a little on edge when it gets dark. We were sitting in the gazebo eating dinner. It was already dark by then. And one of my friends said she saw something white flash by. It freaked us out a bit, but it really freaked us out when my dog ran over to the exact spot, put her paws up on the gazebo ledge, and was just staring at something we couldn't see. The next night, I was having a hard time sleeping. I was feeling uneasy and freaked out all night. I finally fell asleep and had this vivid dream that my dog was scrambling up into the highest branches of a tree. She was absolutely terrified and trying to claw her way to the top. I'm not sure exactly how, but in my dream, she communicated to me that she was trying to get away from a ghost. I woke up in a panic and felt that something was hovering over me. It's really hard to explain the feeling, but something was fluttering or undulating somehow back and forth over my face.
Mm.
Check
that's,
this.
That's super scary.
Right at that moment, it felt like a bucket of ice water was streaming through my veins from head to toe. Then I heard some noises on the stairs that led down into the bedroom I was staying in. And I thought it was my dog until I heard her collar shake right next to me. I started looking around the room, even though I didn't want to, and saw a strange milky or silvery looking shadow moving along the ceiling, which is when I flipped on the light. I was so freaked out that I stayed up until the sun came out. Meanwhile, back at my apartment on the same night, my husband saw strange shadows on our bedroom ceiling. When I came home, I noticed that the fan sitting on the window ledge in our bedroom had been knocked off and was on the floor, and he didn't know how it got there. That's it for now. Thanks for your show and for creating a platform where people can share their stories. She had some creepy stuff happening.
She sure did. Oh my goodness. I'm still trying to get my head wrapped around the fluttering over her face.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I don't like it.
That is really close. And then her veins just went cold. Like her body just, like ice just goes through her body.
Because like the outside thing, you know, you see something white. It could have been an owl that flew by. Because owls are kind of creepy looking if you ever come across one at night.
They truly are.
And the way
are.
They their head turns all the way around to watch you, they're just kind of creepy. So maybe an owl flew by and you're outside and you're in the woods and the mountains and your dog could have smelled anything. So that part might not have been paranormal. But like the other stuff that happened later, that was just weird.
I wonder if her dog reacted because she said her dog was there beside her, right?
Yeah, and she said that it doesn't sound like he really reacted much.
Because in my experience, when I have dogs and something happens, the dogs notice. Like the dogs will sit up or come right over to me and be, you know, nervous or something. But she didn't say. I wonder if she remembers.
Now, the dog was in the dream.
Yeah.
But
and it's weird how that dog, the dream, kind of led into this other thing.
And sometimes I wonder, too, if, and I don't know because I did not live her experience, so I don't know. But sometimes those dreams that you have are so real. Like when I've had sleep paralysis dreams, like I know there's somebody coming into my room. And he's getting, like, he's standing right there. Like, I know this 1,000%, and I 100,000% think I'm awake, and this is really happening.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
But I actually think it's a dream state that I'm in.
It's a state, and we know that that paralysis, sleep paralysis, is for real.
Yeah.
Right? That's been proven that it actually happens, but what you're seeing, is that really a dream? Or are you able to tap into a different plane where you're, you know, tapping into a different subconsciousness
level? I don't know. And so I wonder in that case, if she experienced all that stuff, was she truly awake or was it more of a sleep paralysis state? But the way she writes it, she was awake. I woke up in a panic.
I think she was awake when this was happening. She heard things on the stairs.
Then she writes all that creepy stuff and goes, that's it for now. Like, hey, guys.
Okay, now that does beg the question. So what do you think? Do you think she opened herself up to this because she started listening to podcasts and going on, you know, haunted tours and doing things? And by the way, I did look this up, this Peabody Whitehead Mansion in Denver. Oh, it looks totally scary. It says that there was a Dr. Whitehead who, I believe it looks like, built the house. He moved there from New York, had been a wartime surgeon in the Crimean War. And it said that he had lost many of his patients. Oh. And it said that the spirits of those soldiers that died followed him to his new home in Colorado.
Oh.
And he was reportedly tormented by the spirits. Now, you could say, did he have PTSD, right? I mean, is that a possibility? I think it is, and I think that was part of it. But it sounds like there was a lot of just paranormal activity in the home happening. Like it says that witnesses, other people reported books flying off shelves, objects moving on their own, and, you know, various disturbances, glasses crashing to the ground, a chandelier that disconnected from all the electricity, flickers, but it's disconnected.
Ooh.
There seems to be a ghost named Ella or Eloise that haunts
tours?
The second floor. Yes.
Oh.
So this sounds like a good one, guys. If you're in the Denver area or head into Denver, you might want to check and see if you can be on the tour. The house itself doesn't, well, I'm not sure. I might have just lied to you. I'm not exactly sure whether they do the tours in the house or if, whether she was just on one that took them by it and they told them stories.
But you might be able to do a historical tour of the house.
They might, right? But the house itself is interesting. It doesn't look like that big of a deal.
Oh.
I mean, it looks like it's okay, but it's not fancy, fancy.
And there's
like
some fancy, fancy houses around there in Denver. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But there's a lot of the pictures I'm seeing right now, there's like chain link fence. I'm thinking they're trying to keep people out of it.
Well, you know, it's interesting because they call it a mansion and you expect a mansion.
Okay. It says if you want to know more about the mansion, it lies vacant these days.
Oh, even creepier.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
It can be viewed only from the street through a protective wire fence.
I hope somebody does save it, though, because those historical homes like that, you know, they go in and tear them down. Once they're gone, you know?
Yeah. So that was on her. They must have gone by it anyway on that ghost tour that they did. So, you know, the question is, are you opening yourself up? Are you going by these places or into these places and something maybe is attaching to you? I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, it could happen, or she could just be having a run-of-the-mill paranormal encounter.
True. Are there really such things as run-of-the-mill? Oh, you know, I just had a couple knocks on the door, but nothing big this week.
It's interesting because she said, I have always wanted to have a paranormal experience. Well, you got to watch out what you wish for.
That's right. You got to be careful of that.
So, but, I don't know. Maybe she did have something to do with it.
She had a very scary one.
She really did.
Yeah.
So she can keep that. Well, if you like the show, because I don't want any part of it. Like, we're just talking about ghosts. We're not part of it. If you like the show and want an ad-free experience, sign up to be a premium subscriber through applepodcast.com. Try it for 3 days free. Or sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.